Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up, OpenAI to list, the AI IPO rush, and the wisest place for your savings, all next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Monday, the 9th of June 2026. It's actually Tuesday and it's a day where the Australian share market fell. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.24%. We'll have the details soon with Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. Plus, where do you think the wisest place for your savings is? Matthew Hassan from Westpac will tell you where consumers think that is. If you're new to the podcast, welcome. We go into more detail on the top consumer finance and market news stories covered during On The Money on SBS World News. But first, the AI race to list on the US share market continues, with ChatGPT owner OpenAI confirming it is keen. It sent a confidential draft prospectus to the US Securities and Exchange Commission overnight, adding it hasn't decided on timing, and it may be a while because there are things it wants to do that are likely easier as a private company. It does, however, leave the door open if it wants to list earlier, joining the likes of rival and Claude chatbot maker Anthropic, which announced its intentions to go public last week, and Elon Musk's SpaceX, which, in addition to its AI business, has interests in communications and space exploration, and will list later this week. Now, combined with a recent capital raising by Google owner Alphabet and an expected one by Facebook's Meta, it means, combined with the upcoming listings, investors are being tapped for hundreds of billions of dollars to fund AI expansion and investment. What does it mean for the market? For that and more, I spoke with Loftus Peak Chief Investment Officer, Alex Pollack. Alex, OpenAI, the owner of ChatGPT, has somewhat confirmed it's looking to list on the US share market. It's confidentially filed a draft prospectus, I guess, with the SEC. It follows Anthropic doing the same thing last week and SpaceX, which is expected to list later this week. Why are all of these AI companies in such a rush right now to list on the US share market? And what does it say about the investment environment at the moment?
Well, the reason they're all going together is, one, because they can, but two, more importantly, to the extent that one company drains the capital pool, it drains the capital pool for the other company. So, you know, if one of them goes and then the other one looks close to going, then they all have to kind of go together. And then it's no secret as to reason to the, for the reason that indeed Google and Meta have both also gone. So, you know, the money's out there. It's chasing these AI trades, and it's available, and they have to. The imperative is that they get there before anybody else gets there, because it's a competitive market for capital.
Speaking of that market, so this is going to be trillions of dollars, right? These companies combined market cap is going to be somewhere around $4 trillion. A lot of that money has to come from investors. It has to come from somewhere. And if it's all coming at relatively the same time, I know that OpenAI has said, hey, we don't have a timeline on it just yet, and we don't know when Anthropic's going to list.
And it's imminent.
Well, what does this mean for the market, though, if all of this money needs to come through?
Well, we saw a bit of that the sell-off in, you know, tech that happened at the back end of last week, I think was the realization by the market that the quantum of money that was being expected. And remember, Google also added $80 billion to that pot, and Meta an amount of money as well, which is more than $10 billion as well. They were all coming together, and they suddenly, I think, the market thought to itself, oh, well, maybe they'll have to sell some of their other AI names in order to be able to put the money into these floats, these listings that are coming up. And so I think part of the correction that took place on Friday was just the recognition that it was a finite pool of capital. And so they kind of positioned themselves, sold what they needed to sell, so to speak. And I think the market is now going to rebase itself around these numbers. And probably the selling is done, because, you know, that was a pretty savage rout, 4-ish% last Friday. So they now think that everyone has re-weighted their exposures such that they've got enough cash to be able to invest in these, you know, $2, 3, 4, 5 trillion worth of companies that are coming through. It's not that amount of money, right? Remember, SpaceX is only raising sort of $80 billion. I mean, you say it fast, it's the largest raising in the history of the world. And you know, we don't know how much OpenAI is going to raise, and we don't yet know how much Anthropic is going to raise. But it's going to be well north in the end, I think, of $150 billion, especially when you consider that Google's already in there for $80, and that's cornerstone by Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway. So, you know, there's $80 or $90 or $100 billion between Meta and Google as well, plus the 75-80 from SpaceX, plus whatever the amount is from OpenAI and Anthropic. So it's going to be well north of $150-200 billion. That is by far and away, by a factor of 10, the largest call on the stock market's capital base ever. The next largest one was the float of Aramco, but that was really only $20 billion, right? That was only a $20 billion raising on a $2 trillion cap. So this is, you know, possibly 8 to 10 times that.
And finally, given we know SpaceX is going to list on the US share market later this week, we've got those two others we mentioned earlier. SpaceX, a $4.9 billion loss last year. Investors are going to want to obviously look for a profit. What's your take on these IPOs, and is it something that you're interested in?
Well, we've seen the numbers on SpaceX, and I'm still uncertain about why we think we can get the same returns with a lower amount of risk than SpaceX. And so it's not something that would normally hove up into our sweet spot for valuation that we would do. I mean, we haven't seen the final pricing, so we can't be 100% certain about everything, but SpaceX looks to be a difficult one for us. With respect to the other two, OpenAI and Anthropic, we still haven't got the fine detail of the numbers, and we'll need to see that before we can commit to anything, because, you know, we manage $1.5 billion of client monies. So we don't do that. Our approach is we treat it seriously, obviously. So we have to see the numbers before we're doing anything. But notionally anyway, SpaceX does not look like it works for us.
That's Alex Pollock there from Loftus Peak. Let's take a closer look now at the Australian share market, which fell today. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.25% as investors return from a long weekend. Not a bad day considering it followed the Nasdaq's 4.2% thumping on Friday, followed by a slight recovery overnight. The miners led the losses here as iron ore traded at around $100 a ton. BHP lost 1.9%, Rio 1.8%. Tech also lost ground while the banks were mixed, and the supermarket retailers did well, while CSL continued to climb. For more, I spoke with Adam Dawes from Shaw and Partners. So Adam, it appears the ASX is playing catch up following the public holiday we had here yesterday, but it has avoided these huge falls we saw on the Nasdaq, in particular in the US over the weekend, and on regional markets overnight. Why?
Yeah, look, it seems like the ASX was hit by, and you're right, it's trying to play catch up, but it wasn't hit as badly as the US tech sector, mainly because we don't have those mega cap tech names inside of our market. Our market's more banks, resources, and sort of defensiveness. While it's been followed by that global weakness, we're lucky to have that day off. It's sort of a bit of a circuit breaker, but the Nasdaq style sell off has certainly seen those big mega caps come back. And I think that's where we haven't seen that fall as it was in the US.
Yeah, so where have we seen this being reflected in the local share market today? Where were the sector moves?
Yeah, locally, I mean, obviously the market came off lower and now it's trying to fight back. That's the big thing. But certainly the material sector, tech sector and the bank sector are the ones that really followed that global sell-off from those, you know, the major banks and those kinds of things. The defensive part of the market has actually done and held up quite well. So it's clearly a risk-off trade today.
Let's break down some of the reaction that we saw from the weekend out of the US, because we saw that the sell-off being reflected in part because of the US jobs numbers, which came stronger than expected. That adds to the chance for an interest rate rise now in the US. Could that happen? What's the market thinking? What would be the market implications?
Yeah, with stronger job numbers, that definitely tells us that the Fed Reserve is definitely putting on rate rises back on the table. And obviously, if the economy is still running hot, they still need to do something with that. And it obviously makes rate cuts less likely. I think that's the first thing. And it raises a chance of another hike. Market is looking, and the US market is definitely looking to price at least one rate hike this year. And if things don't sort of, obviously this economy is running hot, but if they need to then continue that, it'll be two rate hikes by the end of this year. But it definitely, markets are now definitely pricing in some tightening, and that risk is then certainly seeing that in the market.
The sell-off also in the US on Friday, the way investors reacted was to sell down tech and AI-related stocks. Is this a sign that perhaps the sector has become too hot, or is it investors maybe, you know, getting some cash ready for some hotly anticipated IPOs in the sector?
Yeah, look, I think it's definitely a message that the investors are sending to the market, that this AI theme is certainly real, but the valuations have become very stretched. And I think that's exactly where you've got to look, is those valuations and the overall AI theme, the juggernaut that is continuing to happen. But it really looks like a valuation reset versus a collapse of the AI story. So I think you've got to take that with a bit of a grain of salt. There's a lot of stretched valuations out there. And yes, you're absolutely right. We have some very hot IPOs that are coming up this week.
Yeah, so speaking of those IPOs, overnight we heard from ChatGPT owner OpenAI confirming it's keen to go public. A week after, Claude's Anthropic said the same thing, and we've got Elon Musk's SpaceX expected to debut later this week. You know, what's your take on this whole theme?
Yeah, it makes the IPO window very, very complicated. You've got lots of investor demand from AI, and the SpaceX side of it is absolutely huge, right? But if OpenAI, Anthropic and SpaceX all come on and all come on at a discount, it is definitely going to look like that there's going to be some energy that's going to be zapped out of this market. And I think that's what we're all concerned about, hence why we are seeing some lower volumes this week, because I think everybody's going to be waiting for Friday in the US when SpaceX does list.
Are you likely to participate in SpaceX?
On 100 times revenue, with $20 billion worth of debt sitting in there. Look, I've had a lot of clients ask about it. And so we've definitely been making moves to look at that. One way I've been doing it is I'm buying the NASDAQ. Okay. There's going to be a 1% weighting of SpaceX in there. So you're going to get some access to it that way. Also opening up international accounts for clients, but certainly not going to be chasing this. And I'd like to see it open, like to see some valuations, like to see how it trades, because it's certainly the biggest IPO in the world, plus there's a lot of press around it at the moment, which is a lot of negative stuff as well. So I think buyer beware, and I think when you've got all this retail money coming in to prop up potentially a lot of institutional money coming out, it's not a great sign for, or it doesn't bode well for an IPO.
And finally, what are you telling your clients right now more broadly, and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Look, I still think that the AI theme is there and is going to continue. We are looking for more international exposure for clients. We do see that earnings per share growth here in Australia is going to be fairly anemic for 26, 27 and 28. But whereas overseas, that earnings per share growth is definitely intact. So we are looking for more international stocks, or stocks that are able to provide that international exposure. But certainly here in the Australia, I think the material sectors run really hard, but we really like copper in that space and we're still investing there. But I think for any client looking for further exposure, they should be looking internationally. And we've got some great ETFs on our market that can get you that international exposure.
It's Adam Dawes there from Shaw and Partners. Well, let's move on. And it would appear real estate is losing its appeal as the wisest place for savings. Just 4.5% of respondents in the Westpac Melbourne Institute Consumer Sentiment Survey, which is closely watched by the RBA, think it is. That's the lowest share in the survey's 52-year history and below the historical average of 24%. Consumers viewed bank deposits and paying down debt more favourably. That's as overall consumer sentiment fell to a reading of 80.6. Anything below 100 suggests pessimists outnumber optimists, and it's back amongst the weakest seen in the 50-year history of the survey. For more, I spoke with Matthew Hassan, senior economist at Westpac. Matt, to start us off, how would you generally describe consumer sentiment at the moment?
Oh, look, there's no two ways about it. The consumer is still very much down in the dumps at the moment. We saw sentiment slip back another 3 percentage points in June, sort of giving back a small gain in May. The headline index is at 80. That's very low by historical standards. It means pessimists outnumber optimists by about 20 percentage points. Consumers are clearly bracing for more difficult times ahead for their own finances and a little bit more uneasy about what's happening in the housing market.
Yeah. Can we spend some time talking about the housing market? I found this quite interesting in your survey. Run us through the attitudes towards real estate as a wise place to save, because it would appear that's really tumbled. So can you run through why? How much of that has to do with government policy and perhaps the federal budget tax cuts? Or is it more broad based because of the economic environment and interest rates?
Well, definitely consumers have turned off the idea of real estate as the wisest place for savings. Just 4.5% of consumers nominated that option, compared to 2/3 saying safe haven assets like bank deposits or repaying debt or superannuation are the wisest option. And that marks a pretty big change. It was already quite on the nose in the previous few months. Back in March, 9% nominated real estate as the wisest place for savings. But over the longer history, about a quarter of Australians have historically nominated real estate as the wisest option for savings. At 4.5%, that's the lowest on record. It's well below the proportion nominating superannuation. So it's definitely on the nose. It'll be a mixture of things. The uncertainty around the economy, the interest rate rises, but undoubtedly the tax policy changes that were announced at the May budget have had an effect on perceived returns on investment in housing and comparatively made it less of a preference compared to the safer options of deposits and so on. But it really is quite a striking result given that 50-year history. Basically, 1 in 22 Australians favour real estate compared to 1 in 4 over the 50-year history of the survey.
The other thing that's interesting to look at is the outlook for employment. We know the unemployment rate has been kind of trending higher. How are consumers feeling about job security?
Look, they're a little bit more on edge about the outlook for the labour market. I wouldn't say they're panicked at this stage. They're bracing for a further deterioration over the next 12 months, but they're not seeing unemployment expectations spike in the way that they have in leading into major adjustments in the past. But certainly it's another factor that I think is weighing on the general consumer mood.
And finally, we know that this report is something that the Reserve Bank keeps a very, very close eye on. What's it likely to mean for the RBA and when it considers interest rates moving forward?
Well, it's pretty clear that the consumer's responding to higher interest rates and increased cost of living issues. The weak sentiment picture is telling us that consumer spending will remain at best restrained near term. For the RBA, that's going to give them a little bit comfort in the sense that demand is not generating inflationary problems. But there are other issues for inflation. You know, we've yet to see the full impact of higher energy prices flow through to the CPI, and there are some worrying signs around non-fuel prices that this may have been a quicker pass through to those prices than in the previous oil price shocks. So the RBA will still be a little bit nervous about inflation. We think they'll need to do more work to ensure it comes back under control, but certainly, you know, the demand side of the picture is looking pretty well behaved at this stage.
It's Matthew Hassan there from Westpac, and he wraps up the podcast for this Tuesday. Give it a like, a review, and subscribe if you enjoy it. Don't forget you can watch On the Money during the 6:30 weekday edition of SBS World News. The podcast returns tomorrow. It drops after the market closes, and I'll catch you then.
This SBS On the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.